And it's amazing. You know, in the body of Christ, there are map readers and there are road makers. Map readers are many, but road makers are few. Because road makers have very little to guide them. They bulldoze the mountain, uproot the obstacles to make way for those coming from behind. Anywhere you find a road maker, please do everything to appreciate what God has given to us as a gift and pray for them. In our midst is someone that is a road maker. God's apostle and the first lady. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So thank you so much, Apostle. I've been highly honored. There are places you go to, you pray that you never go back. But then there are places you've gone to, and you pray that God will give you more opportunities to return. This is one of those places. Thank you for the honor. Amen. How many of us have been blessed by all the speakers, all that has taken place? No doubt about it. Let's lift up our hands and return the praise back to God. Give him praise. I'm sure you've gotten your own portion. Thank him. Thank him. Can you raise a song to the Lord, whatever song you want to sing? Go ahead. Sing about the Holy Spirit. He loves to hear you sing. Sing any song. Any song. Go ahead. Sing a song to him. Thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let me hear your amen.
Amen.
Please take your anointed seats. And stretch forth your hand, shake your neighbor. Tell him you are privileged to sit close to an anointed person like me. Amen. So I'll take some brief moment to share something simple on the person of the Holy Spirit. Then I would want to take time to minister to some people as I announced in the morning. Remember, God will always meet you at the point of your expectations. Not necessarily at the point of your needs, but at the point of your expectations. So if you expect something big from God, you will not be disappointed. Right, on the other hand, if you expect nothing from God, you will not be disappointed. God will always meet you at the point of your expectation. So I want us to go to the scriptures, the person of the Holy Spirit. Today I'll be sharing why you need to connect with him so that he can open up the scriptures to you, because he's the spirit of revelation. He's the spirit of revelation. Without him, what you have in your hand called the Bible is a dead book. Only the Holy Spirit qualifies to quicken the word there and bring life out of it. So you need to know him. You need to depend on him. You need to rely on him. You need to ask him to take away whatever stands as an obstacle between you and the reality of God's word. And I tell you, when he takes you on a trip through the Holy Scriptures, you'll be amazed the depth of truth that will come out of those scriptures. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll be reading from verse 12. We're going to read the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, from verse 11. Let's pray. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we depend on you to breathe your life on this ministration. I receive the clothing of grace to minister as I ought to. And I'm asking that your power behind these words will produce supernatural results. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding and giving us insight into what the Father is saying. Thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Is your amen still here?
Yeah.
Verse 11. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Now take note of that, no one's. And no one means no one. Whether you are educated or not. So with your PhDs, the Bible says no one qualifies to comprehend the thoughts of God except the Holy Spirit. Verse 12. Now we have received the Spirit that belongs, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely, lavishly bestowed on us by God. Verse 13. And we are setting this truth forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit. Now hear this, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. So there is something the Bible calls spiritual language, and it's only available to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Please lift up your hand. Say, I possess the Holy Spirit. So you can speak his language, isn't it? That's wonderful. Verse 14. But the natural non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Now, I got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1980. Now, throughout the years I spent in the medical school, I was sick, taking tablets almost on a daily basis. So it was in 1980, as a young medical doctor, that I camped at the feet of the Holy Spirit, and he was taking me through Romans chapter 6, and I came to verse 6, and that scripture exploded in my spirit. I saw enough light in that scripture that brought to an end the sickness, the afflictions I suffered from for 6 years. 5 different diseases left my body. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody laid hands on me. Just the scriptures coming alive, the light coming from God's word, broke the backbone of that satanic affliction. Now that set me on a path to discover that whatever the affliction is, every affliction in your life is an operating force of darkness. Any form of infirmity, any form of disease, whatever the names, doctors, you know, can give it a very long name, but Satan hides behind those names to inflict pains in the lives of people. So whatever the names are, once the light of God comes, and you get enough illumination from God's word through the Holy Spirit, the backbone of that affliction will be broken. I want to say it again. The grip Satan has over your life, he has it because He's able to veil you from the truth. Anywhere there is spiritual blindness, there will be bondage. There's no doubt about that. Where there is blindness, there will be what? There will be bondage. In the realm of the spirit, we all know that sight is what? Might. Sight is might. The man who can see is a strong man. The man who can see cannot be caged. You can't put chains on him. It's not possible. Satan can't corner you and afflict you with the garbage of hell if your eyes can see and see correctly. Every force of darkness operates in darkness. When light comes, Satan surrenders. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who is qualified to introduce you into God's word, to activate it, to quicken it, to produce light for you. The Bible says God's word is meaningless nonsense to the natural man. I want to say it again. The word of God is what? Meaningless nonsense to the natural man. No matter your degree of intellect, when you approach the scriptures, it's like a sealed book. You are locked out of the reality without the Holy Spirit's help. And that's why I've learned to depend on him. Sure, I've gone to the university, but that does not qualify you to touch the life in God's word. Every scripture you see, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is as deep as the one who inspired it. Every scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit is what? Is as deep as the one that inspired it. Now, you can scratch the surface the rest of your life and not touch the depths. The Holy Spirit alone qualifies to help you do business in those deep waters where you touch the wonders of God. So my prayer for you is that you develop such intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Get to know him as a person. Get to know him very, very personally. He's the greatest teacher. There are no mysteries with him. Every scripture inspired by him, it's something he can open up to you to touch the life there that will set you on the path of victory. If a scripture is closed and does not produce a harvest of blessing, it's because the Holy Spirit has not opened it up. So fall in love with him. When you approach the Bible, ask him to open your eyes to see the depths in God's word. Don't assume he will do it. Ask him. Ask for the spirit of revelation. Ask for insight. Ask that the scriptures will open up to you. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit is come, his ministry to the world will be hindered because they don't know him, they don't recognize him. But for you, God's people, Jesus said, you will know him, you will recognize him. And because you will recognize him, you will profit from his ministry. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, who is standing in front of you? This is Dr. Akpa. If apostle comes up now, you know a different person has come up, isn't it? So, because you recognize me, as a man of God, you are sitting there receiving from me. You are honoring me because you've recognized me for who I am. In the same way, people who recognize the Holy Spirit, they honor him because they are aware he is God. They are aware he's the best of all teachers. He's the greatest teacher. So when you kneel down and open your Bible, or when you are studying the Bible, realize that the only one who qualifies to teach you what is there is resident in you. But he's waiting for you to recognize him. To recognize him. Now, if somebody has a problem with his car, he recognizes the person who can handle that problem. A motor mechanic. You don't take your car to a tailor. You take it to a motor mechanic because you recognize he has the answer. If you have a problem with your clothes, you don't take it to a motor mechanic or to a doctor. You take it to somebody who you know will be able to solve the problem. So you recognize the person who has the answer. In the same way, when you open up the Bible, there is someone you must recognize that has the ability to take you to the depths, and is the Holy Spirit. It's not that your mind is working very well that day. No. It's the Holy Spirit. Without his help, every scripture you touch is sealed. sealed by God's wisdom, so that Satan can quote it but does not understand what is inside. Unbelievers can get their PhDs in theology and not touch the life there. I had a principal who had a Bachelor of Divinity, but he was not born again. And there are people who have doctorate in divinity. In other words, they are doctors in terms of knowing the scriptures and knowing God, and they are not saved. Why? Because every scripture locks you out without the Holy Spirit giving you admission. I don't know if I'm making sense to you. It's like years back, my daughter, she was about 5 years old. I came into the room and I saw her with my fat textbook of medicine, thousands of pages. And she was so absorbed, her lips were moving. So I was asking her, what could this girl be getting from this textbook of medicine? And she was so consumed by what she was reading that she didn't know even when I walked into the room. So I walked across over her shoulder to see what she was reading, because there were no pictures there that she would look at. And I saw that that textbook was turned upside down. Now, what do you gain reading a book that is what? Turned upside down. Nothing. But hear me well. Any portion of scripture you approach without the help of the Holy Spirit is like a textbook turned upside down. You're not going to get anything from it. The Bible says the natural man cannot accurately discern or interpret the language of God. No, you don't have what it takes to touch the life and liberty that comes from God's word. I say this under heaven. When the light of God's healing power hits you from his word, no power of sickness can keep you bound. If the light of God's word hits you in the area of deliverance, there are no chains fashioned by hell that can keep you in bondage. That word carries power. It carries life. But if you just touch the letters will kill you. Beyond the letters is the life that only the Holy Spirit can introduce you to. You've seen coconut before. Have you seen coconut before? Now, if you've never seen coconut before, and I try to introduce you to coconut, that coconut is a very delicious, is it fruit? Do you categorize it as fruit? Okay, let's call it fruit. That you've never seen it before. And then you went to the market to purchase coconut, came back home and washed it, and settled down to eat it, and began to grapple with the shell. Now, all you get is your mouth full of what? Death. And if you don't take time, it could injure you. So you'll be tempted to doubt the man of God that told you that coconut is a very delicious fruit. But before you touch the delicious part, you've got to crack it. You've got to open it. And when it comes to the scripture, listen to me, you can grapple with the letters. I've had people memorize the scripture. It doesn't produce any life in them. Quote the scriptures. It doesn't produce any liberty. But the day the Holy Ghost cracks it open and gives you access to just one verse of scripture, you'll be amazed the kind of liberty it will produce in your life. Please depend on the only one who qualifies to give you access to the life in God's word. It has nothing to do with your PhD. There are market women. They can't read too much. But the little they read, they ponder on it, meditate on it, depend on the Holy Spirit, and you see them flowing in liberty. Because the natural man is not equipped with the senses, spiritual senses, that can touch the life in God's word. Now, if, for instance, you see a blind man, somebody who was born blind, how do you attempt to describe the color of a rainbow to that person? Somebody who was born blind. How would you do that? Talk to me. It's almost impossible. It's like screaming at a corpse. It's not going to respond. In the same way, hear me well. without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, these your two natural eyes, your brain, fall short of what it takes to touch the liberty that comes from God's word. That's why you need him, and you need to heavily depend on him. Make him your closest friend. Choose him as your greatest teacher. Even when you sit in a meeting like this, have ears that will discern his voice. Because at times he speaks beyond what the preacher is saying. Please lift up your hand and say, I love you, Holy Spirit. Say it again, I love you, Holy Spirit. Now, permit me to use this example as a form of parable. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 5. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now you can see that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but could not. For what reason? Number one, the crowd. Number two, he was of short stature. So because of the crowd and because of the short stature of Zacchaeus, he could not see Jesus. So what did he do? He ran, saw a sycamore tree in front, and climbed it. Sycamore tree are trees that have branches that are close to the ground that you can climb to ascend to higher heights. And that sycamore tree is a type and a shadow of the ministry of what? Of the Holy Spirit. But there is no way you would see Jesus as he is. Why? Because of the crowd. Crowd of what? Crowd of ideas, of the philosophies of men, the teachings handed over the ages to confuse us, to try to obscure us from the truth of God's word. And I'm telling you, the spirit of the age, especially in the age we are living in, the postmodern man, what he believes, what he teaches, is enough to confuse the average person. There is no way you will listen to the garbage that comes from our institutions, that come from the press, that come from the media. There is no way you will listen to such garbage and be able to accurately discern who Jesus is. Even a lot of the religious garbage we listen to can obscure us from the truth. Everywhere is crowded by so much false teachings. So how do you see Jesus as he truly is? You must admit that you and I, no matter how highly talented we are people of little stature. In spite of your PhDs, when it comes to the scripture, you are like an imbecile. So all of us are men and women of little stature, and we are crowded by so many false teachings that nobody can accurately discern this Jesus that we are speaking about without the help of the Holy Spirit. One time Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The answers they gave were religious answers, but they were not the correct answers. Some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah. Now, there's a huge difference between Jeremiah and Jesus. The day you confuse the two, brother, you'll be locked up in bondage. There's a huge difference. No matter how great Elijah was, he's not in the same class as Jesus. But religious teachings will make you accept something that is a substitute for the truth. Therefore, with all the crowd of false teachings today, pulpits dishing out death to God's people, the only way you can get an accurate insight to discern Jesus as he truly is to depend on the Holy Spirit. That sycamore tree, you climb it to ascend beyond natural reasons. And when you see Jesus as he truly is, the encounter begins. Saints, I want to say again that that Bible you are holding can produce enough light to bring liberty in any area of your life. Please raise your hand and say, I believe that. Tonight, there may be no need to pray for your healing. Just one scripture that the Holy Spirit quickens will break the backbone of that satanic arrogance. Just one scripture. I saw from God's word the fact that Jesus became poor so that through his poverty I would be made rich. I saw it very clearly. And I discovered that this thing called poverty, it respects light. And when I came in contact with it, there was no need for me to pray for God to prosper me anyway. I knew what to do. And no Satan can block my harvest from coming. Since many times your problem is not the devil, it's lack of knowledge, it's ignorance. The only thing I know that is strong enough to obstruct your path, to destroy you, even when God is still your God, is not Satan. God said, my own people, they are destroyed. Not because God has lost his power, not that because Satan has become omnipotent. My own people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So that is the wicked force that can destroy God's people when God is still their God. Not Satan, not witches, but ignorance. You've heard me share my testimony. I hope I don't bore you. When witches came to my house looking for blood to suck, they didn't know that they missed their road. They had caused major accidents on this Zaria Jos road, killed a lot of people. But that night they had appetite for the blood of a pastor. So they knew I was a pastor and they visited my house. So at about 2 a.m. I was sleeping when I perceived evil in the room, because this body sleeps, but my spirit is active, it's alive. I perceived evil in the room. So I turned towards the window. I was like in a state of trance, turned towards the window, and then I saw this witch staring down at me, horrible looking, with long incisor teeth. It was ready to pounce on me. So what I did will interest you. Amen? Amen? Let me ask you, bro, what would you have done? Eh? Take authority, isn't it? Plead the blood of Jesus. Speak in tongues. Call down Holy Ghost fire. Or run out of the room. I know some of you would have gotten up to pray and battle the devil to submission, but I had prayed before I slept. Now hear me well, the Holy Spirit can wake me up at any time to pray, but not a witch. Now, that's the truth under heaven. So what I did was, I was aware there was a gulf between me and that witch that it could not cross. I was very confident of that. I was confident of the fact that there was a blood fence around me that witch could not cross. If it made the attempt, that would be its last mission. I was very confident of that. So there was no need to pray. I took my covering cloth and covered my head. Now, before I did that, I smiled at the witch. You know, the day Satan shows up is what you know that will tame him. Now, I didn't know what happened that night because I had a nice sleep, enjoyed my sleep. Nobody pressed me down on the bed. I bought with my money. But 2 weeks later, we were holding a convention in one hall in that city. We organized it, and my guest speaker was ministering. And the head witch came to that program. She came not to hurt anybody, but to investigate my source of power. And it was a fairly huge meeting. She was sitting at the back. The man of God was still preaching when God's power knocked her down. Nobody touched her. And she got born again before the altar call was made. She got born again in a hurry. I mean, how can you just sitting down like this, a force just knocks you down? So some few weeks, months later, it was during a church service, people lined up to give testimony. And they were coming one after the other. And I saw this woman. I said, we have met somewhere before. She said, yes, sir. Then she told me of what happened that night, that she and her colleagues visited me to kill me. But when I looked at her and I smiled, that what I did was I roared in laughter, and that the house began to quake. And she told her fellows, we have come to the wrong place. Isn't that wonderful? Now, all I did was to smile with knowledge backing it up. And God amplified it, and it became a weapon the enemy could not withstand. Let me say it again. After all that Jesus dealt on Calvary's cross to the devil, what is left of Satan is not enough to block your path. That's the truth under heaven. What is left of him? I asked you today, what would Satan look like 10 minutes after Jesus rose from the dead? And you told me that picture has not changed. So what the devil has done is to start his campaign of deception to veil people from the truth. Organize deception to deceive you to believe what is not true. And when it comes to deception, Satan has no equal. What makes him dangerous is not his strength. It's not his subtlety. But what? His deception. I'm sorry, not his strength, but his subtlety. His ability to deceive. That's what makes him dangerous. And that's why the antidote to satanic deception is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the truth. He is the revealer of the truth. And once you get a hold of the truth, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can I say it again? No matter who you are in this audience today, or those of you watching me online, every man born of a woman who depends on his natural senses does not qualify to access the deep things of God, the reality of God's word. All of us, without the Holy Spirit, are like Zacchaeus. We are crowded out by the confusing sounds and noise we're hearing around us. And we are all men of short stature without the Holy Spirit building capacity in us to contain the truth. And that's why we depend on him. How many of you love him? So that from today, as you approach the scriptures, you know there is something there. If you contact it, it will leave you with a living testimony. It's very disturbing to see people read the Bible over and over and over and over, and it's like it produces nothing in their lives. Why should it be so? When God's word is living, it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can produce freedom and liberty. There are no gates, no chains of satanic oppression fashioned by hell that will not break open when it contacts the light of God's word. So I decree that from tonight, the chains that want to hold you bound, they are broken in the name of Jesus. Even if they had operated as patterns from your ancestors, it takes just one verse of scripture coming alive before you step on that platform of liberty. The devil has been brought to naught and made of no effect. That's for sure. So when you approach God's word, what I would encourage you to do is to learn the art of meditation. Don't just skim through. Get a verse of scripture. Ponder on that scripture. When you are doing that, you are giving the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to encapsulate it. As you ponder on that scripture, you meditate on that scripture, you are telling that scripture, I won't let you go unless you bless me. I won't let you, because I know there is life in you. There is freedom in you. I won't let you go until you deliver what you contain. And that now gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to open it up to you. Because you are aware, he's attracted to those who are hungry, like Zacchaeus. What can make a rich man like Zacchaeus run before people that knew him? It was hunger. It was hunger and humility. But you see a man like that, so wealthy, maybe a millionaire, climbing a tree in the daytime, people would have said, what is this man doing? What has gone wrong with him? He was driven by hunger. God always responds to those who are hungry. Those who tell the Holy Spirit, as I lay hold on this scripture, open it up for me. Can I pray for you? May God take you to a new level of revelation. I didn't hear your amen. Well, may he take all of us to a greater height of insight. Now, hear the operative levels of the word. The word comes to you, number one, as information. Number two, it comes as revelation. Number three, it does the work of transformation. And then number four, it brings about your manifestation. But first, it starts as information. And as you ponder on the information, it gets transferred from your head to your spirit. It opens up to you and becomes revelation, so that the eyes of your spirit are bathed in light. And when that happens, transformation takes place. The change takes place. And when the change takes place, you are released as a living epistle of the New Testament. You begin to manifest out there. People begin to see the word at work in you. So there is no more in the scriptures, in that book. It has been transferred to you to become a living letter that people can read. I know some of you, people can look at you and say, everything has changed about you. You used to be like this. All that has changed. What made it happen is the word that came alive to change you, to transform you into the likeness of Jesus, to a point where you are now a living letter written to the world. If they are confused about what is written in the Bible, all they need to do is look at your life. And we are told that if somebody has an experience, those who just have an argument cannot stand him. I have tested, and I say this with deep sense of responsibility. There is nothing you are looking for, brothers and sisters. If it's liberty, freedom, peace in your home, prosperity in your business, here it is. This thing can do what prophets out there cannot do. It can. So if you fall in love with God's word and fall in love with the one who is the author, who alone qualifies to give you access to the secrets here, if you fall in love with him, all this running around, depending on human crutches, will come to an end. Why some of you have been deceived by prophets out there is because you are not grounded in the truth. Now, you are looking at me now. But there are some of you that have been trapped by the enemy to make these false prophets as your human crutches. That you depend on them to prophesy on you before you believe what we are teaching you here. Let me say to you that if you don't make your mind to live by God's word alone, you will not live well. Because if there was one lesson that God wanted the children of Israel to learn, listen to me. He kept them in his classroom for 40 years, teaching them the same thing in different ways, using different circumstances, different encounters, just to drum one lesson into their lives. Just one lesson, not two. Imagine you being in the classroom of God Almighty. He's your teacher and will teach you for 40 years, and after 40 years, many of them did not catch the lesson. What kind of people were that? If you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses was reminding the children of Israel that all the experiences they passed through was just for them to learn this lesson, that man does not live by bread alone. That man lives by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the Lord was doing everything to get them to get that lesson, that you are going to the land of promise. You won't survive there unless you learn this lesson. There are giants there. The enemies are there. The land is for you to possess. But before you get there, I'm not in a hurry to take you there. You've got to learn this lesson. That when you go there, you see them with their iron chariots. Please remember that victory doesn't come because of the weapons, carnal weapons you have. It's the word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's why they went through all the experiences. So anybody today who exalts anything above God's word is in serious error. Anytime you go to these places where they throw the Bible down and say, I didn't come to preach this thing, I came to prophesy. Please take your Bible and check out. Where they tell you to bring coconut, tell you to bring, to pluck leaves, to pluck all kinds of things. And they tell you today, we are not interested in the Bible, this is practical demonstration of power. Anyone who despises the word does not qualify you as an audience. Carry your Bible and check out. Anything they give you, listen, anything they give you in church that is exalted above God's word is an idol. Whether it's anointing oil or handkerchief. Now, I use anointing oil a lot. I use handkerchief. I transfer anointing through them. But the day you exalt those things over and above God's word, you are in serious error. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Please lift up and say, I receive that. I had somebody testify that, hey, armed robbers struck my compound. And they robbed all the houses, but they didn't come to my house because the sticker of my church was on the door. Maybe it's so, maybe it's not so, but may we forever exalt God's word, not these articles of faith. It's the word that makes it work. It's the word that makes them work. And the only one who qualifies to bring life out of the scriptures is the Holy Spirit. I want to ask again, how many of you embrace his ministry? How many of you love him? How many of you recognize that he's the only one who is qualified to take you on that spiritual adventure where you go from glory to glory? Only he qualifies. So because you recognize him, you will benefit from his ministry. I tell you, I've sat in his presence receiving dictated teachings, filling pages. And some of those teachings were fresh from heaven. I turned them into books that have blessed people over the years. Now, I don't have copyright because I know the one who originated the insight and revelation is the wonderful Holy Spirit. And he can do that for you. You don't need any title for that. All you need is just to love him and to recognize him. Just as you recognize the doctor as the person who can solve your medical problem, you recognize the mechanic as the one who can solve your car problem, recognize the Holy Spirit as the one that can open up the scriptures to you. And approach him to do that, because that's why he came. Jesus said he will take what is mine and deliver to you. Oh. He will take what is mine, Jesus said, and deliver to you. Amplified version says, he would receive, take what is mine and transmit to you. I don't know how many of you are available for onward transmission, because he's always transmitting something, but your receiver is not present. How many of you know that in this room right now there are sound waves? There are sound waves? Sure. If you bring a radio here, you'll be able to tune to some of those stations. But you don't have a receiver. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is constantly transmitting something, waiting for somebody who will be ready to receive. And I tell the Holy Spirit, I'm available. I'm available. As I begin to conclude, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. So let's prepare our hearts as we wrap up. Like I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. I would want to minister to the younger ministers that are here. If you have spent less than 5 years in ministry, I'm talking of answering God's call. You spend less than 5 years, I believe I can be of help to you as I lay hands on you. I do this under divine instructions. And when I do, the prophet is always there. That God will take your ministry several steps forward and cause you to break through into dimensions of the supernatural. Okay? How many of you want that? Please, if you are beyond 5 years, don't come out. And if you are not into ministry yet, please don't come out. But I'm talking about those who have answered God's call, or you are into a specific ministry that you started less than 5 years ago. Thank you, Lord. Wave your hands to Him. Wave your hands to Him. Amen. Please do like they say, the greatest teacher, He dwells in me. Say, with Him there are no mysteries. So I recognize Him as my teacher. Will He teach you all things? Yes, He will. Jesus said He will take what is mine and transmit and deliver and give to you. But are you well positioned to receive what He's transmitting? How do you position yourself in sensitivity to His voice, to His prompting? Knowing that He's there. He doesn't go on holidays. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, you know He's there. And each time you approach the scriptures, you get your notebook out because you know He will teach you something. It's well with you. Please rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's lift up our hands and just pray in the Spirit for a while. Make it as loud, as hard as you can. In the name of Jesus, please bow your heads. I don't want to assume, but if you are here, you are not born again. I want to give you an opportunity to be born again. You want to give your life to Jesus so that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. That's what gives meaning to life. Now, you can be in church and not be born again. You need this encounter with Jesus where he can break you loose from your past and give you a brand new life. Anybody who is not born again and you want to say, Jesus, I receive you today, whether you are down here or up the gallery, place your right hand on your chest and talk to God. Ask for mercy. He's going to have mercy on you. If you are not born again, do that now. Put your right hand on your chest. If you are up there or down here or you are watching us online, and cry out to him, Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins. Anybody, if your hand is on your chest, you know the Lord said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. You know, if heaven is free, why should somebody go to hell? Why? If heaven is free. So if your hand is on your chest, boldly walk out to the front. Every step you take towards this altar is telling the devil, I'm no more your property. So walk out to the front. If your hand is on your chest, whether you're up there or you are down here, as fast as you can, please. God bless you as you come. God bless you. Keep coming, wherever. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you, my son. God bless you. Make it fast to the front, as fast as you can. Anybody up there, please come. There is still room for one more person at the feet of Jesus.
Can use me. I give myself away.
Keep clapping, they are coming. We will still wait for you. Make it fast. There are some of you outside. If you are watching here outside, make it to the front. If you want to give your life to Jesus. All right, are you coming, my son? Make it to the front as fast as you can. Now, if you're in front, please listen to me. No man could have moved you from where you were standing to the front if it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Nobody could have done that. So I want you to live to remember today for the rest of your lives. It was when you stepped out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. And God wrote your names in heaven as his own child. There is nothing that has happened in your life that is as major as what is happening tonight. So I want to congratulate you. Make sure you go back home. Write today down in your diary if you have one, to remind you of the day you made the major, most important decision of your life. Because out of these people, God will raise apostles, raise prophets, raise church workers. So in front, lift up your right hand and say after me, say, oh God, say that loud so that you can hear your voice. Say, oh God, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Just a minute. I'm waiting for two more people. Please, come as fast as you can. As fast as you can. Where is he?
Oh, God.
Anybody outside, please make it to the front. We'll wait for you. Are you coming? No? Keep clapping. We'll wait for them. You are coming. Okay, clap for that young man. God bless you as you come. One more person. Are you coming? All right, clap for that young man too. Thank you. All right, say after me. Say, oh God, I come to you just as I am. I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Today, I repent of my past life. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for accepting me as your child. I am born again. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. From today, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you stretch forth your hands and just bless them? Just bless them. Their testimonies will last. They have started well, they will finish strong and finish well. Ask that the Lord will groom them to become mighty instruments in his hands. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Is there anybody who is going to look at that man of God waving his hands? His two hands are up. Please walk towards him. He has some few things to share with you. Can we clap our hands and rejoice over this one? God bless you. Somebody get excited. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? You speak in tongues. How many of you are yet to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? All right, just come out to the front. Let's get that out of the way. Just come out to the front. Whether you're up there or down here, please come out to the front. Do it fast. We're running for time. Hey! Keep coming, make it fast. Only condition you need to fulfill for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit is to be born again. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit is already in you. What you came out tonight to receive is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit so that his power comes on you. And when his power comes on you, you'll be able to do the works of Jesus. You'll be able to witness. You'll be able to heal the sick, cast out demons. You'll have the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. So you need to be born again. Then if I add another condition, make a determination to work for Jesus, because this power is for service. The power will come on you for you to serve Jesus better. Use the power to win souls. Use the power to draw people to Jesus. Use the power to help those who need help. Amen? Then remember, if you ask God for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask him for fish, will he package snake and give to you? If you ask him the Holy Spirit, will he give you the Holy Spirit? So are you ready to receive? Let me see it on your faces. Are you ready to receive? Who will be the first to receive? All right. So I'll give you a simple instruction. I would ask you to make some confession. Then I will say, receive the Holy Spirit. When I say that, God's power will hit you. When I say, receive the Holy Spirit, don't speak English again. Don't speak your mother tongue. Open your mouth, begin to speak that heavenly language. Don't worry how it sounds. Don't even think about what you say. Open your mouth, begin to speak that heavenly language. Even if it sounds like a little child learning how to talk, just speak it out. You wouldn't understand what you are saying, but your father that you are talking to understands you. So I want to ask, how many of you are safe in the hands of God? That God no go give you something when go poison you. He go give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you something good that will profit your life. So lift up your two hands. First, you thank God for your salvation. Thank Jesus for saving you. Relax the way you are tensed up. Relax in his hands. Okay, thank him. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for writing your names in the book of life, and ask him to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In the name of Jesus. Now let me lead you in this confession. Say it louder than your neighbor. And remember, when I say receive the Holy Spirit, lift up your voice and begin to pray in tongues. As loud as you can, say, Heavenly Father. And if I may ask, those of you behind can join them when they begin to pray in tongues, okay? Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I am born again.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Thank you
for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, oh God,
I ask you
to baptize me
in the Holy Spirit.
Fill me
with the power,
of the Holy Spirit.
And I will begin to thank you
and praise you
in other tongues
as the Holy Spirit
gives me utterance.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive
right now
in the name of Jesus.
Now here we go.
Receive.
Receive.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Open your mouth.
Go ahead in the name of Jesus.
In
Jesus' name. Hey! Now, many of you are already speaking in tongues. We'll go one more time.
We'll go one more time. Remember the instruction. When I say receive the Holy Spirit, begin to praise Him in that heavenly language. So raise your hand and say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Are you saying it loud? Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you
for the Holy Spirit.
Right now,
I receive
the baptism
of the Holy Spirit,
and I'll praise you
in other tongues
as the Holy Spirit
gives me utterance.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive
right now
in Jesus' name.
Now receive
the Holy Spirit.
Receive the Holy
Spirit. All right. In Jesus' name. Now walk back to your seats praying in tongues. Make sure you pray in tongues every day, at least 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes or even more, every day until you see Jesus face to face. Will you do that? I guarantee you, tomorrow Satan will tell you are speaking rubbish because he wants you to stop. But don't you stop. Now walk back to your seat praying in tongues. Thank you, Lord. If those hands are anointed, clap them. All right, so how many young ministers do we have here that would want me to lay hands on you? If you are not too many, you see them? Apostle, this may not be possible. Okay, the meeting extends till when? Till Sunday. So I'm sure we'll have opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Lift up your hands. Now this is what will happen. I will use a few of you as a point of contact. Is that okay? That as I touch one, God will touch many more. Okay? And the Lord will give you a sign. There are things hanging that will come on you. I know what I'm saying. I am not flippant with words. Okay? Uncommon mantles that are here. And people have prayed for this meeting for months. And it's in honor to the prayers that have been raised to God that these things have been sent. And they are for your good. So you sense that thing come on you like blanket. A few of you, you look at your hands, you see oil on your hands. When I'm done praying, okay, you will see. I'm not talking of sweat now. You know, my body is hot. I'm talking of real oil. Raise your two hands. Now, the next 2 minutes, pray in tongues as hard and as loud as you can. I'm In the name of Jesus. I stretch forth my hands towards you. Be quiet, be quiet. Jesus. I'm asking, wonderful Holy Spirit, that you'd move on your people. Jesus. Let this clothing of great grace come upon these young men and women. Lord, usher them into greater dimensions of the supernatural. Ministries that will transcend generations. Ministries that will command signs, wonders, and it's happening now. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's happening. That's right. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even the older ministers are getting something too. Jeremy, amen. All right. If you're a younger minister and the Lord gave you any sign, He sends that clothing come on you, please come and stand in front of me. Some of you can check your palms. Jump, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Lord, thank you for ushering us into a new phase, a new chapter, a new season. As a commission, as a ministry, thank you for opening up the nations for us. We go forth in this our might. Thank you, Heavenly Father. The glory of our callings will be announced in distant places. In the name of Jesus Christ. And from this holy ground, your ministry will command such signs, wonders it has never experienced before in the name of Jesus. We call it. I saw something just now. Nobody comes out. Just lift up your two hands. Okay, it's this area. Please lift up your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking because you sent me that whatever will bring an upgrading in the ministries of these ones, Lord, release it to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody has arrived yet, so the shift we need. Take it, man of God. At least five of you, I see it come on you. Just receive it. It's happened to one already, two now, two, three. Three, yeah? Three. Four. 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 The fifth one is close by me. Take it. It's yours. It's yours. Thank you, Lord. Mommy, put your hand here. Yes. Amen. Now, if you're watching us online and you want the Lord to do a miracle in your life, it's a miracle of healing, or you are trusting Him for breakthroughs. Now, if you are sick, just lay your hands on where you are sick. And if you are trusting Him for a breakthrough, just stretch forth your hand and touch that device. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are present everywhere and your power covers the globe, including where your people are watching us from right now. I ask that the power of God from this altar will move and touch everyone that needs a miracle. If you are sick in your body, I break the power of that infirmity. I command that demon spirit, go! In the name of Jesus, that instrument of destruction and affliction is broken right now. Be loosed. Be set free. Be set free. Be set free. Eyes open. Ears open. I curse every incurable disease. Die and be flushed out in the name of Jesus. Mele, 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 mele. Everyone captured by occultic powers. And the symptoms are caused by those altars of wickedness where their priests sponsor your pains. Today, those altars crash. They collapse in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the priests that service those altars. Give way in the name of Jesus. Be set free. And everyone desirous of a miracle of breakthrough, take it now. It's yours in the name of Jesus. Jesus opens a door, the door that nobody can shut. Let favor come upon you. Receive the touch of God now. Receive your miracle now. Now, some of you watching me online, you got a vision of God putting keys in your hand. That is a confirmation. The door God has opened for you, nobody can shut in the name of Jesus. How many of you here, online, not online now, in person, you saw them put keys in your hand while I was praying? You saw it? You saw it? Not today. Now. You saw it now? Who is it again? You see that? You see that? Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the praise. God bless you. The meeting continues tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you.